You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, yeah. Troll on in.
Yeah, we're going to take a definite departure from some of the normal things we've been doing on the segment for the Westpac Council. You know, you never know what's going to come up when we do this show. And you've heard me say on this show and many others, thank goodness there's an app for that. We've got technology surrounding us, and it's finding its way into the fishing community at a rapid rate. And today we have some good news about a guy that just said, I'm going to make an app. I'm going to do something about this, and we will introduce him in just a minute. But before we do, I want to say hello to Ed Watamura, who joins us. And for those who don't know, what's the name of your organization? What's the name of your organizations?
Several, right. Yeah. First of all, right now, most importantly, I'm actually a council member for Western Pacific.
That's why we're so excited. Yep. After looking at it for a long time, we finally got you, right?
Yep. And because of that, actually, I had to step back from a couple of my positions. Mm-hmm. One was vice president of HFACT.
Yeah, we don't play with our fish.
Alliance.
We don't play with our fish, right?
Yep. And then the other position was being president of the Wailua Boat Club. So I kind of stepped away from those two responsibilities because of the demands of being on the council. Yeah,
I don't think you have any idea of how many times I mentioned among the shows that I do, yourself and certainly Uncle Roy and a lot of other people that go way beyond and above the call with regards to keeping an eye on things that are of value to fishing and to fishermen. That's what we're going to talk about today.
We got a new
gig. What do we have here?
Well, sitting to my left here is Jim Horry, and about 3 years ago, he had this idea of developing an app for fishing. He started, actually, you know, it's something that's been going around the country and getting more and more popular. And we thought, you know, it'd be a great idea to bring this to Hawaii. And so Jim started developing this app, and the intentions first and foremost were to connect fishermen to fishermen and then fishermen to fish. So in other words,
makes sense to me.
Yeah, exactly, right? But as time has gone on and the app has been developed, it's kind of morphed into a couple of things that are of really, really, really important consequence. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Jim.
Yeah, and Jim, first of all, thank you so much and welcome to the program. I know that probably people say, what do you mean? You developed an app? Who the heck can do that? How do you develop an app? Give us a little breakdown. First of all, local boy, how did you get involved in technology, or what do you do in technology?
Well, I started fishing when I was 3. Kind of my mentors were kind of a more of a scarcity mentality, like, you know, don't tell Mike how we rig our thing and it morphed into, after I joined the Wailua Boat Club in 2010, their mindset was more of a abundance and a cooperative and a giving mentality. Like, you know, I had just caught an ahi and he would send me a picture of what the lure looked like. I mean, nobody would think,
whoever
think
did
about
that before,
doing that.
And so, well, you know, and that's the same thing when you're calling in on a grid. If you're in a tournament, you're in grid so and so, but you're not going to give them the GPS numbers, are you? And what color is the lure? Forget about it.
Right. Exactly.
But what I'm thinking of is just the mere existence of a platform that is user friendly to a point where you can make sense out of it and develop something that can be a valuable tool.
Right. So in the Wailua Boat Club, Uncle Roy is in charge of legislative in action, part of the meeting. And for the first 3 years, 3 years or so, it went right over my head. I didn't have no idea what I was talking about. Yeah. And as I started listening more and getting more interested in it, it became a passion, because one of the things he always says is, you guys got to get involved. Mm-hmm. You guys got to do something, and we need numbers, because if we don't, then the ocean's going to turn into an aquarium. And so I thought that if I could create this fishing app to... Lokahi means together in Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. So if the fishermen could help each other have more fun and catch more fish, we get a bunch of people on this app. And when HFAC or PIFG recommends that we do something, if we could have thousands of people doing it instead of just 20, the normal 20 that can do that. So we're just talking about that last night. Imagine if we could have, you know, like 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 people.
People don't understand when that pebble goes into the pond, that's how many people we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about directly involved in fishing in some way, fashion, in Hawaii, about 150,000 people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, in fact, some estimates even go up to 300,000.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
It is
amazing. By the way, we may not be organized, but we vote. You know, this is a different way because we do actually get organized. But what I was more interested in is also explaining what you had to go around and know. How do you do this? How do you put together this stuff? Is there like, do you go to Google and say how to make an app, or what do you do? How did you do this?
That's just been a process. We hired this one app developer who had good intentions, and stuff happened, and he couldn't finish the job. And so we kind of stalled for a year and a half. And then I ended up hiring this really brilliant business developer, Rich Christensen, out of Salt Lake, Utah. And his strength is app development and website development. He's created millions of business that made millions out of a low budget.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we've all seen that. I mean, everybody has on their cell phone right now a lot of apps. You know, and yet there, it's a physical thing that you have to do, and there's also the thought process that goes behind it. But more importantly, is once you've developed it, get it into use, introducing like we're doing here.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we've been working on it like every week for almost a year and a half now. I talk to him every week, and so we found a really great app developer, engineer through Upwork, and that he's been really great. A reasonable price, and he's a joy to work with, and he's really sharp. He has 45 people on the roof in his company.
Wow, isn't that great? Yeah.
So he can do iOS is what is ready to launch. And
I guess what they do, Jim, is they get together and say, okay, here's the project. And they already have somebody in mind for each bite, for everything that's got to
exactly.
be done.
So they have Android person who's mirroring the iOS right now, and they have a website, so we have a website.
What was the driving factor, though? What was the reason for the creation of this?
I kind of did some coaching, and they kind of showed me what I know. And I'm a pediatric dentist, so I know a lot about that. And my passion is fishing, so I know about pretty much those two things.
Yeah,
and so I chose the fishing side.
Yeah, and see, that he chose the fishing side.
Yeah, right.
It's a little bit of a bonus, a little bit of value here.
So
obviously, you know, you guys are behind this and getting into it, but still going through the developmental stages and then launching it and then saying, all right, what am I going to get when I go here? And more importantly, what can I give? You know, I mean,
exactly.
I'm hoping that people are going to react immediately by wanting to say, okay, I want to put mine in there. I want to report. What does it do?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, we just lost a dear friend, Matt Moribe, who fell overboard and was never found. And one of the features of this app is a dual alert, yellow alert and a red alert. And but just by hitting a button, instantly people are alerted that you're in trouble.
To where this event is.
They know where you are, because when you hit that button, your position is marked on a GPS. And so that goes out, you know, to all the boats, the friends that you have around you, all the boats that are on the app will see this alert. So, you know, instant benefit as far as safety is concerned.
And of course, we did try to cover the tragedy the best we could. At the time that we did it, there was information that still wasn't in. I know there still is a lot of talk on what actually happened. But the bottom line is that, you know, as soon as I saw this, and I thought, well, you know, what do you do? I mean, we are, as a fishing community, anxious to help people in need. You know, I mean, I'll pull my lines up and go somewhere if it's not too far away. We've all done it. And we've all been towed in. I mean, you know, it's a two-way street.
It's a two-way street, exactly.
But the thing is that I'm more interested. One part I saw of it, Jim, was dead in the water. And everybody knows dead in the water means that you got no propulsion. And it's okay in calm water. But when it starts to get ugly, you got a problem. So isn't this another example of how this would expedite somebody getting to somebody like that?
Yes, exactly. Because usually the Coast Guard doesn't want to deploy a cutter for somebody that's dead in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to try to see if somebody else can help.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, we had conversations over the last few weeks here on the show about should people have to pay for their being rescued? It depends on how dumb they were. You know, I mean, if you're out there and you run out of fuel because you were chasing a pile of ice, you got a problem. You know, that's going to cost you more than the fuel.
Yeah.
But I understand that, because dead in the water doesn't mean necessarily at the same moment big trouble, does it? It might be big troubles coming.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you don't want to be dead in the water overnight, because you. And I think maybe it'd be kind of cool, Ed, if you can talk about, because you guys do a lot of bottom fishing stuff. You can drift and move a whole bunch of waves that you have no idea how far you can travel.
And the tricky thing about, you know, when we go bottom fishing, we choose a nice calm day to do it.
Of course.
And I cannot tell you how many times that situation has switched.
Mm-hmm.
On a moment's notice, and all of a sudden we're looking at some pretty heavy winds coming our way.
Bad enough in a big boat, but in a small boat, it's yikes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, but I still think that it's sort of important. How the thing actually works. And people don't care how it works. They just want to know how to use it, you know? So I guess everybody is sort of app conscious now. I've actually gone through my cell phone and cleaned up some stuff that I thought would be nice to have, but I never use it. Now it's in the way. But here's a new one. So how can people get to it? Number one, and what are they going to learn when they go there?
So the app is going to go live on May 1st.
Okay, 5-1.
So right now, we're still in beta testing.
Right.
So we have a bunch of people testing it, trying to get the bugs all out. And on May 1st, the iOS is going to go live, and the Android is going to go live also.
That is great. So what it's designed to do, and I know there's probably going to be a tutorial and all of that stuff, or at least some way you can figure it out. But what are the main things that, let's say I just make it a regular thing that I go look at, which is what we want to do. But how do I know when and how to use it? In other words, how do I'm not talking about if I'm dead in the water. I know doggone well what I got to do. But it may not work from there. You know, I may have to do a different way. Somebody may have to do something for me. What is the information that goes into it? What am I going to learn when I go there?
So this app is designed for fishermen. Like, before I go fishing, I need to find out the weather, the tide, the moon, sea surface temperature, all those data feeds. And it's all in one place.
That's really cool. Yeah.
And the other thing, the important thing, is to see what's biting and what they're biting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I need to call you to see what you did and what your friends did. And I'll call Ed and all these people that I usually call. And instead of having to do that, there's a catch report feature in the app.
And that's real time?
Could be real time.
Could be, yeah.
So if you're out fishing and you put it in real time, all your friends, so if we're all friends and your guys are fishing too, you'll know that I caught a 125-pound ahi by B.O. Buoy on a purple silver bullet or whatever it is. And then if you're by our buoy, nothing's going on, you might want to troll that way and put it up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's good. But I think what's probably, and Ed, I'm guessing that it's more important to start linking together and finding out, you know, things that are of concern mutually. So having that go-to center is great to get info, but to put stuff in there and to make stuff work, in other words, to quantify how many people are thinking about, should we really have these restrictions on these bottom fishing lifted or whatever? Isn't this going to be a way that we can actually get little communication going on about important issues?
You know? That's exactly right. So one of the things is, you know, As people sign on to this, we start to build a universe.
Mm-hmm.
And what if this universe gets large enough, you know, that it's has the possibility of starting to influence things.
Yeah,
and,
you bet.
You know, if you get the universe of, say, 100,000 people, just think of the possibilities, you know, as far as unifying fishermen to pay attention to certain things going on in government, going on in the legislature, just going on in the fishing community, you know, alerting people of things that's coming up.
Yeah. You know, Jim said something interesting, and I think that we should follow up on it, and that is, you know, that we are more likely to give up, quote, secrets when we know that it's a friendly place that we're at. You know, in other words, if I get something out of this app, I'm going to sure be willing to give something to it when that time is appropriate. But I think wielding that hammer is pretty good, because right now, you know, I've noticed this at the Fishers Forum part of the Westpac meetings that we have. People are more forthright and coming out now because they see these folks aren't my enemy.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe the same thing would apply here, is that once they know that it's not put together by somebody that wants any money, you know, it's not put together for somebody that wants to know the color of the lure that you just mentioned or the actual GPS mark, but want to know, okay, what do I need to know what's happening in my fishing community? I'm coming over to the app to get an information from Tide or whatever, but that's not, I can walk away with a lot more when I go looking at it, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's designed to stand on its own, so you use it for your own fishing.
Yeah.
You get a personal catch log in the cloud, and you can look at it and what happened this
that's
week,
really
what
cool.
happened for the past month, for the past 3 years. Mm. To make you identify patterns to make you a better fisherman. So the app stands on its own, and when you put in the catch report data, then that data is going to go to the back end to the scientists to look at the non-commercial data that's coming in.
And this is what we're talking about here is non-commercial. And I know for many of us, Ed, we're on both sides of that issue sometimes. It's non-commercial, and sometimes it's a little bit commercial, sometimes it's a full-bore commercial. But I think that the non-commercial guys are the least represented when it comes to legislation.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, because they're not in connection with a group or a group, and this might be able to help solve that. They can become a cloud member, if you will.
True. Yeah. And that was one of our intents when we formed HFACT, mm-hmm. was to be the voice for the Hawaii fishing community. But, you know, when you look at the science of fishing and how we can manage fisheries better, the big question mark has always been, what are the non-commercial fishermen catching? You know, we really don't know. I mean, there's a lot of estimates, and there's some programs that are existing, but the information that they put out sometimes is just so way off base that you just look at it and just shake your head.
Well,
you know?
Look, that's a great point. And I've reiterated on the program many times, we've had a lot of the scientists from Westpac, a lot of scientists from NOAA. I believe the gathering of information is getting more sophisticated and accurate. You know, that being able to do stock assessments is a lot easier than it used to be. Look what just happened on Corner Crab. They find out, hey, wait a minute, this thing's in great shape.
Exactly.
Let's go catch some of these buggers, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So therefore, it's, I'm guessing, as a tool, that it's like a big scoop net. You can get to this app and go put all kinds of stuff there and develop all kinds of stuff with it.
Oh, yeah. There's so many possibilities that this app can provide.
Yeah.
You know, once the users start putting in information, that information becomes something that benefits them that they can't even imagine right now.
I think that a lot of places try to get the word out. For instance, we're going through a thing right now with Vic Lorenzo out at the Waianae about the spinners shootout that's coming up.
Yep.
And this is a great, and obviously, you know, you go to their website to do this, but this is something that somebody would put over to this app and then say upcoming events or things that you might want to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that that's where I'm excited, because I mean, I'm an old goat, you know. The young people, they're the ones that they take a look at these app things and they just jump in with both feet and love it. So obviously there's going to be that kind of stuff. But I want to know, when you talked about getting political with it, how do you see this being part of that world as far as going to and sharing information and then maybe even calling your congressman or something if you see something that you've learned something?
Exactly. So this is about unifying the fisheries, which is actually my real passion, and this is what the app is actually, the main purpose of this app, that's what it's for, to get a lot of people to unify fisheries. So there's going to be push notifications influencing fishing legislation. So HFAC and PIFG are going to be the go-to people to give advice on supporting or opposing a certain bill that's coming through or writing a letter to your congressman. And so you just imagine if we have 100,000 people doing that, then we're going to be heard.
You know, one thing that I've noticed during the last several legislative sessions where we've been, you know, bird-dogging things, and particularly, once again, we got to talk about Roy, because his dissemination of information to people is it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and then when you go and log in and be a part of it and you start following these kind of things, all of a sudden, there's strength in numbers to the fact that, you know, the more pushback there is, the less likely legislators are going to want to do something for fear of, you know, getting their constituents angry at them, you know, by doing something dumb. Do you think that any of these guys, Jim or Ed, go to work as a legislator think, I want to go to work today to see how I can screw up the country. They don't do that. They want to do the right thing. But they often act on the last thing they've heard.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. And here's a way to not, this isn't the last thing. This is you know, pretty much, I was going to say real time.
Yeah, it's a really great way to start informing people.
Yeah.
And that's a key thing is information. The more better information you got, the better decisions you can
what
make.
What I like about it is the ability to have pros and cons. You know, when you look at an opinion, most people that have an opinion, depends on where they're coming from, who funds them. I don't want to tell you about some of the groups that are funding things that are anti-fishing that are just make you blown away because you don't know what's going on until you see, okay, pros and cons, and then add your own thing, and then go to the app and see what other people are thinking. So you're going to have a way that people can get and share information.
So the truth based on science. So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, that's what.
And not on false data on emotion.
Yeah, and that's therein lies the fact that, you know, when you take a look at making an area kaput or something, for instance, this is kind of a little bit off the subject, but I want both your opinions on it because I know that neither one of you are involved in the shutomi, in the swordfish industry. When that fishery gets shut down because of interaction with loggerhead turtles, it turns out that the 17 interactions that they had this year, nobody died. These were all turtles that were released.
Exactly. Turtles were released alive.
Yeah.
And this is why it's really important, you know, to really go through those biological opinions with a fine-tooth comb,
sure,
and to actually give comment on it, because if you see the turtle is released alive, so why is it a interaction that's lethal to them?
Yeah, well, it's an emotional experience that the poor damn turtle had, right?
One of the things is that if the turtle is swimming away with a hook in the mouth, mm-hmm, and it's got a trailing line,
right,
then that is deemed to be that turtle's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't know that it's going to happen.
If they're using the right gear and the right hooks, that thing's going to rust out of that mouth in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. You know? And the other thing that we're kind of involved in Westpac is there's a instrument being developed right now that slides down the line and is able to
cut the wire line.
So there's no trailing line.
Right.
So that's going to
be the winner,
that's
too.
That's going to be
Yeah, and by,
really
and by the way,
it,
people ought to know, when it says that about the council, we are the most highly regulated fishery in the world. I mean, you know, there's just nobody, especially in the longline fleet. We'll talk about that as it does other things. But what important what Jim was saying, and this is false stuff. And, you know, there has been pretty well substantiated false stuff in the past, but now science is knocking it away. Some of the things that Dean Sensui and others are doing with GoPro cameras and everything, and especially in your milieu, going to bottom fishing, things are a lot different than people thought they were, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Technology has really been able to aid science, like, phenomenally. So, yeah, we're glad for that, for sure.
I think there's another thing, and I saw a little bit on my cheat notes, Jim, what was it about? We're looking at the financial impact of fishery. We're looking at how many dollars are being spent on equipment and how many dollars are being spent on eating fish and how many dollars are being spent everywhere. People are starting to realize that, hey, this thing is way up the ladder. It's a lot closer to the top of the food chain in economic impact than anything else.
Yeah, it creates a lot of jobs. Like, we don't sell fish, but we buy a lot of fishing equipment, and we spend a lot on fixing the boat and maintaining it and,
you know,
buying ice and food when we go fishing.
A couple of weeks ago, I had this great caller, and this guy would have been perfect to talk about this app. He works at a bank. He's a bank clerk, and he's doing okay, but he stops 3 or 4 days a week at different places on his way home to catch fish. And it's because that's his passion, but it's also because he doesn't want to spend too much money at the grocery store.
Right.
So if he can catch the right fish at the right time, not only is he enjoying his pastime, but he's feeding his family.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's some statistics, like I think there was a study done by Justin Hospital. And
By the way, that's his name.
Yeah, his name.
It's not a hospital named Justin.
Exactly. So imagine... This little bit of data, 5 5 million pounds of fish being caught by non-commercial fishermen. This is not
five
the commercial
million debt. Pounds. Yeah.
And that equates to about $13 million food, basically. Yeah. And, you know, this, things like that, people don't really realize, you know, that that is really going on. But, hey, all these non-commercial fishers are going out there fishing, catching fish, feeding their families. And, you know, that, that amounts to $13 million, which is a crazy thing to think about, right?
There has been and is continuing to be a concern about that very thing, about, you know, how much is not being reported. And there are some that are worried that coming up with the information are going to make regulations sterner. And it may not. It may be the actual opposite of that.
Yes, that is very true. In fact, even Roy Morilka and myself, at one point in our fisheries management lives, thought that, okay, the less fish we catch means there's going to be more fish left in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not
it's
how
not true.
That's
yeah,
not
yeah,
how
yeah,
it
yeah,
works.
Yeah, yeah.
It the reality is that the more fish you catch means that there's more fish in the ocean to be caught. So that's
it's hard
how
to
you,
argue that.
That's
you know,
how
it's
you got to think
yeah,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's.
Well, there is. Let me tell you, there's one concern that echoes through this show a lot, and that is all this philosophy and psychology that we're using to try and figure out who we are and where we're going, is that the population keeps growing, but we don't know if the fish population keeps growing to catch up with that. And the I guess when you threaten something, it fruits. Right, if you cut a branch off a tree, it throws out a flower because you threaten its life. I think the fishery operates similar.
It does.
You know, and that being said, we have reason to believe that the ocean can keep up with our demands so long as we sort of manage the demands a little bit, right?
Using science.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where people that are on the beach have got to be willing to cooperate. So that's why I go back to the fishers forums that we have. And I've seen less reluctance to talk about these things than before because the fishermen are finding out that they're not being, you know, screwed by the information that they come up with, that it actually helps. So
it does
help. It sounds as though this whole thing is moving in that direction. This app might be able to be a real contributor to sort of semi-organize all these things we're concerned about.
Yes, we just applied for the MET grant, and the MET grant is based on outreach and education for the fishers.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this app is. It's a smartphone app for communication for the fishermen.
People are going to ask right away, okay, where did this come up from? Who paid for it? And how can I use it? You know?
So that, I paid for
that's
it
where
myself,
you come in
yeah.
here. That's where I didn't want to yank that out of you like a tooth coming out because of your pediatric dentistry, but it's true. I mean, you know, so you obviously, not only do you have a passion for it, but you're willing to, you know, stick your neck out there and do something. So obviously, you have no idea what's going to happen.
He put his money where his mouth is.
Exactly. And not too many of us do that, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that ideally, what happens is, and we've seen this happen in a number of things. I mean, for instance, you know, let's talk about what you do. You know, I mean, I have a couple of dentist friends that I do laser work. I mean, they never knew what a laser was when they went to dental school. I mean, it's just the way things change. But obviously, what you're doing here can go in any number of directions. Isn't it going to be interesting to see where it goes?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. I know nothing about creating an app the fisheries. I just started learning about that and just step by step. And we got really good feedback. And Ed's been there from day one, kind of guiding us on the fisheries part and the possibilities that we could do. And we've been getting really good feedback, and so we've just been keep going. We're just trying to improve the app every day.
And what we're going to do is the moment it comes loose and we start getting it out there, we're going to start pushing it on you. You can go to wpcouncil.org and follow this up. Not only will this show be hooked up there on a link, but later on, but there's I'm hoping some stuff are going to be written in online that people can go in and see and get introduced to the way this is going to be. And, of course, everybody says, the most popular apps of the day and this and that. Let's get it on that list. But more importantly like that, are there going to be different stages of it? Is there a cost attached to it? And if so, at what point?
No, there's no cost attached to it.
I kind of knew that. I just wanted to get that out there because it's going to be in the – you can find it in the free section.
Yeah, at first when we first developed the app, we were thinking about charging for it. But now that the app has morphed into – getting the most people on the app to unify the fisheries. And to do that, we need the most numbers of people on the app.
And by the way, free, and if it's free, you're likely to get. But also, people will once understand there might be down the road portion of it that won't be free. You know, that will be proprietary information. If you want it, you got to join it. And I think that is an opportunity.
It's possible. Yeah,
yeah. Well, one of the things that we considered was we've been, you know, having meetings with people at Westpac and people at different organizations. And what they all said was, if you get the numbers, the money will come. And the reason for that is that everybody is going to want to use the app for their purposes.
Amen. Yeah.
And they're willing to pay for it.
Exactly. I'm thinking of that. You know. Yeah.
So, and there's grants that are just going to start falling in, and all kinds of possibilities. So, you know, of course, you know, you can't do something like this and keep paying for it out of your pocket. It's going to get real expensive fast.
Sooner or later, it's going to be pretty boring, you know. Keep after busting out. It's like boat, right? Bust out another $1,000.
But we're giving the opportunity to a lot of organizations to be able to use the app to divulge information to the fishing public.
Right.
And just that alone is worth something to them.
I think also, too, maybe, and Jim, you can reply to this one. I think it may be not only valuable for them, but they would attach a value to it, hopefully. That they can say, getting that information or getting that is worth something to us.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all about the numbers. So we just want to get the numbers up and add as much value to fishermen out there, and everything will fall into place after that.
Okay, so once again, first of all, what's going to be called?
It's a Lokahi fishing app.
Lokahi fishing app. It's going to be available for maybe inspection or download on 1st of May?
Yes, that's our target.
Yeah. And by the way, we'll keep up on that. And once it opens, we'll get at least hook up by phone or something. I'm really now in Hawaiian, it's the word is Niele. I really want to find out where is this thing going and how people find different uses for it. Because I'm going to guarantee that you're going to be surprised that, you know, holy smokes, we had no idea that was going to be what they cared about. We thought it was going to be this, but it's this.
Yeah, that's been our whole journey so far. Yeah.
I think a big one is going to be where you can have some inner chatting is about the proposed, every time they try to run it up the flagpole and see if we'll salute licenses and see if we'll, you know, IDs and
exactly.
Yeah, and show me if I'm going to have a license, show me what you're going to do with the money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't just rip it out of me and think that, you know, I don't want a license. I don't need a license, but maybe I do.
When you look across the country, you know, we are the only state left.
Yeah.
Without.
And, you know, that's a feather in the cap of people that have fought it. But by the same token, I remember when we all complained about the little sticker that we had to have at the boat ramps until we found out that it was real money and that it was doing what it was supposed to do.
Exactly.
You know, so show me that on a license, I'll buy the license.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be sort of interesting to do that. How long, Jim, Hori, have you been involved in this?
In the app?
Yep.
We started about 3 years ago,
and
it was stalled for about a year and a half. And
well, that was that one guy that
we've been working since January of last year, every week.
That's terrific, and I think, you know, the proof is at the end, right, in the pudding. So obviously you guys, the boat club, everybody's fired up about this.
Oh yeah. In fact, we're going to actually use the app on our next Memorial Day tournament.
That's great. Yeah.
And so in so doing, you know, you open up the possibilities for all tournaments to use.
Of course,
to use
absolutely.
The app.
Absolutely. No, I thought that the minute I heard about this, I thought
it'd be a great way to report your catch. During the tournament, it's pretty awesome.
When is the Wailua Boat Club tournament this year?
Our Memorial Day tournament goes around Memorial Day, right. It's a 3-day weekend at the end of the month, and that'll be the days that we're going to be fishing.
Yeah, and we'll get that out on the program too. By the way, those of you that want to know, now's the time to go to your favorite fishing supply store and pick up the Spinners app. The Spinners application, also the Haleiwa Hanapā, and of course, not only that, but you're going to be joining me up on the Big Island for the 60th or 61st of the HIBT, which is coming up. Can't believe it. I remember what it was like the first, kind of feel old. Anyway, thanks very much, Doc Morey, for Horry rather, for joining us. Stick with it, huh? Ed, we got to give this guy a couple extra kudos.
Give because,
Yep. It's always nice. When you're riding the bus, it's one thing, but when you're driving the bus, it's a different thing.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's been great. And I hope that we can be, you know, part of the spread, part of the happy spreaders of the information that's going to come up out of this. So,
really appreciate you doing that, Mike.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, you bet. Go to WPCouncil.org. That's WPCouncil.org. For more updates on this app. And if you've got something you want to hear that get in on the program, well, you know what to do. Drop me a line. TheMikeBuckShow@gmail.com. TheMikeBuckShow@gmail.com. So for our POP Fishing and Marine and the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, I'm Mike Buck. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Aloha.